with him. Buckhead Grant now will be pitching to Kent Herbeck with a runner at second. And only one out. Gary Guidi is the on-deck man. And the first pitch to Herbeck is low and inside. Ball one. 4-3 now. The lead cut by the 87 Twins. Rally here in the fifth inning. They trail by only a run. And the pitch to Herbeck is a fastball inside for ball two. 2-0 to count. Playing Herbeck to pull the ball. They have first base open here, but Mudcat Grant again looking to pitch to the batter, Ken Herbeck. And the pitch is a fastball swung on and beaten foul at the plate. Two balls, one strike to Ken Herbeck. Kirby Puckett getting his lead at second base. That outfield playing well around to the right for Ken Herbeck. And the set by Mudcat Grant. He kicks and throws. It swung on. There's a drive out of the deep right center field. This is pretty well hit into right center. Tony Oliva on the run and makes a running backhanded one-hand catch of the wall for the out. Kirby Puckett tags. He will go to third after the catch. And there were two down. Herbeck hit that ball well into right center. Nice running catch by Oliva, who was playing a bit towards the line, quite a bit as a matter of fact, but he got a good jump on the ball and made a nice backhanded catch of it on the run. So there were two down. The tying run now at third base. And Gary Guidi at the plate. And he takes Mudcat's curveball over for a strike, and it's 0-1. No balls and one strike to count. 4-3, the 65 Twins leading. With Puckett on third base, and Mudcat going to his conventional motion, into the motion now, and delivers to Guidi. And it's a fastball strike on the outside corner. Guidi not too sure about the call. Takes a look back at plate umpire Greg Cost, but it's an 0-2 count now to Gary Guidi. A big inning here for the 1987 Twins. They've collected a total of 9 hits in the game thus far. As Mudcat delivers a fastball inside, lean Guidi back a little bit. That's 1-2. Randy Bush hoping for a batting turn as he waits on deck here. Kirby Puckett on third. As Batty gives the sign to Mudcat Grant. Here's the windup by the right-hander and the pitch, the breaking ball. Cut out and missed, and he fans Guidi to retire the side. Big strikeout for Grant, his fifth of the ball game, but a big inning for the 87 Twins. They come up with 3 runs on 4 hits and leave 1 on. And so at the end of 5 here at the Metrodome, before an overflow crowd, it is the 65 Twins 4, the 87 Twins 3.
Herb and I had mentioned a little bit earlier about this is the first time that the 65 Twins have ever played indoors, and also they've ever played on artificial surface. Bob Allison and Tony Oliva were out experimenting with different types of shoes before the game, wondering which kinds they were going to wear. Both ended up wearing cleated shoes, but it was funny. Allison was thinking about wearing some high-top gym shoes, tennis shoes, and his teammates laughed at him so much he decided to put them away and went with the conventional cleats, which he is now wearing. So that was kind of an interesting pregame story with Oliva and Allison out testing the artificial turf. We go down to the sixth inning in a 4-3 65 Twins lead in game two of the Dream Series.
All right, John, and Killebrew on a swing and a miss. The first pitch from Joe Niekro. Harmon fly deep to left in the first inning and hit a line drive double into left center in the third. He is now 2-for-6 in the series. Hit that 2-run homer in the first game, and he takes one in the dirt for a ball, and it's 1-1. Joe Niekro, who has allowed only 2 hits since he's been in there, 4 1/3 innings, hasn't walked anybody and has struck out 5. And the pitch to Killebrew is a call strike. A knuckleball dipping over, and it's 1-2 now to Killebrew with Jimmy Hall on deck and Bob Allison to follow. 65 Twins have 4 runs and 6 hits. The 87 Twins, 3 runs and 9 hits through the first 5 innings. And Niekro delivers it, and Harmon swings, and he misses. Not for that knuckleball, couldn't find it with a bat. And Niekro has his 6th strikeout. Well, this is as good as Niekro had pitched all season long for the Yankees and the Twins. And now he'll be pitching to Jimmy Hall. Jimmy unloaded and hit one, a 2-run homer in the first inning, and then hit a fly ball to deep left in the third inning, but a fine play by Dan Gladman, a good tag by Guidi. Got Killebrew trying to go from second to third on the play. And Hall swings and hits a drive out into right field. That's going to be in there for a base hit. Jimmy Hall with his 2nd hit of the game, a line single to right, hit number 7 for the 65 Twins. So they have a runner on first base with one out. And next will be Bob Allison. Bob has had a base on balls, and he struck out in the third inning.
Starting to get some activity for the 87 Twins in the bullpen. Now Juan Berenguer loosening up, and as you mentioned, this has been some outing by Joe Niekro.
Well, he's had as good a knuckle as I think as he's had all year, and I'm sure the 65 Twins were the test to that. Is Bob Allison at the plate. He swings, and here's a drive into left field. That's going to be in there for a base hit. Gladden plays it on the bounce. Hall will stop at second as Allison singles to left. And now the 1965 Twins have something going. They've been on first and second. Only one out, and Zoiler Versailles will be the batter. So Joe Niekro, who had really baffled the 65 Twins for better than four innings, now has given up back-to-back hits here with one out in the sixth inning. Versailles has singled to right center, and he's been called out on strikes, and he takes the pitch inside a ball. One ball to no strikes. Zoiler Versailles, shortstop who had 76 extra base hits during the season for the Twins, 45 doubles, 12 triples, and 19 home runs. And the pitch is a call strike on the outside corner. One ball and one strike out of Versailles. Carlo, who's really not big physically, but he has surprisingly good power for a fellow his size. Jimmy Hall leading at second and Bob Allison at first. Niekro has the sign from Laudner. The runners get their leads. Here's the set by Niekro and the pitch, and Versailles swings, and there's a line shot, and it is knocked down by Newman at second base. He picks it up, throws it to Gagne for one, back to Herbeck. They get the double play. Oh, Versailles hit a shot to Al Newman. He did not handle the ball cleanly. It dropped at his feet as he leaped and knocked the ball down, and they come up with a 4-6-3 double play to retire the side. And boy, Versailles is shaking his head. He's wondering what he has to do to get a base hit, because you can't hit a ball much harder than he hit that one. No runs, two hits, one left, 5.5 innings. The 65 Twins lead 4-3.
Some pitching performance by Joe Niekro, the 87 Twins, as the 87 Twins trying to hang in. They're down by a run right now at 4-3, and that's going to be all for Niekro. When he came off the mound following the top half of the sixth inning, Juan Berenguer, been warming in the bullpen, came in from the bullpen, and he'll start the seventh inning. But you certainly have to applaud Joe Niekro, who went 5 2/3 innings, giving up a total of 4 hits, no runs. He didn't walk anybody, and he struck out a total of 6. Boy, that is really something. And another big defensive play for the 87 Twins as Newman knocked that ball down and started the double play. A one-run game, 65 Twins clinging to the lead, 4-3 as we go to the bottom half of the sixth.
Okay, John, and Randy Bush will lead it off, and he takes the first pitch from Grant in there for a call strike, 0-1. Interesting that Al Newman got his glove on that ball, hit by Versailles. Had he held it, I think he could have had a double play either at second or at first, because the runners had gotten far enough off so that he could have doubled up either Jimmy Hall at second or Allison at first, but the ball dropped right at his feet and he got the double play anyway. And Randy Bush swings on the next pitch and hits one into right center field. That's going to be in there for a base hit. Jimmy Hall fields the ball, throws it back in, and Bush is on with a base hit to right center to start the sixth inning for the 87 Twins. They now have 10 hits in the game. Randy is 2-for-3. And it'll bring up Tom Bernanski, who has singled to center and struck out. Mudcat Grant has allowed only one hit the first two innings, so he's given up 9 hits actually now in the last 3 innings. Tom Bernanski, 1-for-2. Takes the first pitch outside. Threw him a curveball on the first pitch and missed. 1-0 strikes. Bernanski, 32 home runs during the regular season with 85 runs batted in. Infield looking for that double play ball here with Randy Bush on first. Nobody out. Now the set by Mudcat Grant. And the pitch to Bernanski, the fastball. He swings and lifts it high and deep out to left field. I think this is gone way back. Allison as far as he can go. And it is a home run for Tom Bernanski into the left field seats. A 2-run shot for Bruno, scoring Bush. And for the first time in the game now, the 87 Twins take the lead. 5-4 in the bottom of the sixth on a 2-run homer by Tom Bernanski. So the 87 Twins continue to get their base hits, and they're hitting Mudcat Grant fairly hard. He has now given up 11 hits, and Jim Merritt again up in the bullpen for the 65 Twins. And Greg Gagne at the plate takes the first pitch in for a call strike from Grant. 0-1.
Really have to wonder how much farther Sam Mealy is going to go with Jim Mudcat Grant. 11 hits, including leadoff singles from the second through the sixth inning. He's allowed that leadoff batter on each half inning that he has started.
Mudcat, of course, who had such a great season for the Twins, and Sam is hoping that the veteran can work himself out of this mess he's gotten himself into in the last few innings when he started off so well, as Gagne takes outside the ball 1-1. With Jim Merritt, the left-hander, now heating up in the bullpen. Nobody out here in the bottom of the sixth inning. Greg Gagne with two hits in the game and 4-for-7 in the series. The pitch to Gagne. He swings and pops it back to the plate, and that's going to be out of play. Foul ball makes it 1-2. Tim Laudner on deck, and then Dan Gladden do up. As Grant into the windup, delivers the hook, and it swung on and missed, and Gagne strikes out at a breaking ball low and outside. Looked like it was out of the strike zone, but he swung at it. And Grant has his sixth strikeout of the game. One away here in the bottom of the sixth inning with the 87 Twins now leading 5-4. And Tim Laudner, who hit a two-run homer in the fifth inning after flying to left in the third, at the plate. Laudner batting in the number 9 spot. Grant into the windup and throws the fastball, swung on by Laudner, and he dumps it out into left field. It's going to fall in front of Bob Allison for a base hit. Didn't hit the ball real well, but it fell in there for a hit, the 12th hit of the ball game for the 87 Twins. And they now have a runner at first with one out. And it looks like this is going to be all for Jim Mudcat Grant. Sam Mealy is going to the mound this time. That usually indicates they're going to make a pitching change. So there's the signal to the bullpen, and it will be left-hander Jim Merritt coming on the pitch now for the 65 Twins, as Mudcat Grant will leave after giving up 5 runs and 12 hits. In 5 1/3 innings, he didn't walk anybody and struck out a half dozen. So it'll be Jim Merritt, and with a pitching change, there will be a break in the action. So we'll pause for these words.
Left-hander Jim Merritt, who pitched both with Denver and the Twins during the 1965 season, he had a record of 13-8 with Denver and 5-4 with the Twins. He appeared in 16 games with the Twins during the 1965 season. Jim Mudcat Grant, he retired the first three batters that he faced in the first inning, gave up leadoff hits in the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth. 12 hits total, 5 runs thus far, and he did not walk a man and struck out 6. Jim Merritt ready to face Dan Gladden with one away and a runner at first base. Herp.
Jim Merritt, a wiry left-hand, has a good assortment of stuff, and the first pitch is a call strike, a fastball on the outside corner to Dan Gladden, who has grounded the third, hit into a force out, 1-5, and struck out. Tim Laudner on at first base, and Jim Merritt, the left-hander, checks him over there and delivers a breaking ball low for a ball, 1-1 out of Dan Gladden, as Al Newman waits on deck. 5-4 lead for the 87 Twins here in the bottom of the sixth inning. Jim Merritt, 6'2", about 175 pounds. As John mentioned, was 5-4 after the Twins brought him up from Denver, where he'd won 13 and lost 8, and he delivers, and Gladden swings and hits a high pop-up off to the right. This one's going to drift over to the first base seats, and it'll make it a 1-2 count now to Dan Gladden. Jim Merritt, who really had one brilliant outing against the Boston Red Sox when he came in and struck out 8 batters in 3 2/3 innings against the Red Sox. Now the left-hander has the sign from Earl Batty, takes the set position and delivers. It's a breaking ball, swung on and missed, and he strikes out Dan Gladden. 2 gone here in the bottom of the sixth inning as Gladden strikes out, and it'll bring up Al Newman. Newman has bounced to second, popped to second, and doubled to right. Here's the set by Jim Merritt, and he delivers. It swung on by Newman, and a little bloop hit out into left field. That's going to drop in there for a base hit. Allison runs in, picks the ball up, and Laudner will go to second as Newman dumps a single to left field to put runners on first and second. With 2 down, it'll bring up Kirby Puckett, who's been red hot in the series. 5 hits and 8 at bats for Puck. He's fly to center, singled and doubled in this ball game. Well, Jim Merritt having a little confab here with Earl Batty now, with men on first and second, 2 down. It's a 5-4 ball game For the 87 Twins, having come from behind a 4-0 deficit to score 3 in the fifth and 2 here in the sixth on a 2-run homer by Tom Bernanski. Is Jim Merritt ready to go? Takes the set position and delivers a fastball inside to Kirby for a ball. One ball and no strikes. 1-0 to count with runners on first and second and two down. Wadner on second. Newman on first. Jim Merritt has the sign from Batty. Here's the set by the left-hander and the pitch. The runners are going and Puckett swings and he drills one out into right center field. That's going to be in there for a base hit. It will score Wadner. Oliva up with the ball in right center field. And now Linick is waving Al Newman home. Here comes the throw to the plate. Newman slides and he is safe at home, scoring all the way from first base on a single by Kirby Puckett. On a hit and run play, Puckett ends up on second base, his third hit in a row in this ball game. And a 2-run single for Kirby Puckett now makes it 7-4, the 87 Twins leading.
Kirby's red hot. He has three hits in a row, three RBIs. He becomes the first Twin with three hits in the game for the 87 Twins. The only Twins players that are hitless so far for the 87 Twins, Dan Gladden and Ken Herbeck. And everybody else has two hits with the exception of Ken Herbeck, who just has one. Gary Gaetti is hitless. Dan Gladden is hitless. And Herbeck has one hit.
Well, Kirby Puckett really doing a job there. They had the runners going, and he hit the ball into right center field. Good fielding out there by Oliva. And amazing Al Newman, who got a real good jump at first base, able to score all the way from first base with a second run on that base hit by Puckett. He now has three RBIs in the game, and Kent Herbeck up takes a call strike from Jim Merritt. Fastball on the outside corner, and it's 0-1. The first six runs in this game, a charge to Jim Mudcat Grant, completing his log. As Merritt delivers to Herbeck, he swings and hits a foul right straight back, and it's 0-2. Herbie has single to center, but called out on strikes and fly to right. A four-run inning here for the 87 Twins as Puckett gets his lead at second base, and Merritt delivers a fastball inside, one ball and two strikes. Puckett with three RBIs, Bernanski and Laudner, two each on their home runs. Kirby Puckett now with six hits and nine at-bats in the series. Here's the 1-2 to Herbeck. A breaking ball got him swinging. He tried to check his swing on that 1-2 pitch, but went too far. And Merritt strikes out Herbeck to retire the side. The four-run score on five hits with no errors and one left. And now at the end of six innings of play, the 87 Twins, 7. The 65 Twins, 4. Well, I'm sure the 65 Twins have never heard the decibels get as high as they did in the last couple innings when those 87 Twins came up with a three-run fifth inning and then scored four in the sixth to take the lead. Boy, the noise in here just incredible, and I'm sure it's got to have make quite an impression on those 65 Twins playing for the first time in a dome stadium. So it is now a 7-4 lead for the 87 Twins as we go to the top of the seventh inning. Juan Berenguer due to take the hill now, and he'll be pitching to Earl Batty, Frank Quillacy, and Sandy Valdespino. Once again, with a play-by-play, here's John Gordon.
Yeah, Herb, I thought they were just supposed to distribute one homer hanky to every fan that came in, but it seems to me that when the Twins rallied there, especially on that Puckett hit, that everybody was waving three or four homer hankies to try to root the 87 Twins to the lead, which they now have by a score of 7-4. Juan Berenguer, 47 games, all in relief. He had four saves, 8-1 with a 3.94 ERA. And what a job by Joe Niekro, who leaves the game pitching 5 2/3 innings, giving up only four hits and striking out six. Didn't walk anybody. Earl Batty, the leadoff batter, and he takes a strike. No balls and one strike. Batty this evening, 1-2 with an RBI single off of Niekro back in the first inning. And the pitch, a swing and a miss on a Berenguer fastball. And Juan reaching back, a senior smoke as he's known, and firing that high velocity fastball. It'll be a count of 0-2. Batty waiting Berenguer, and here is Juan into the line. He too is a quick worker, and a high fastball, one ball and two strikes the count. 1-2 the count to Earl Batty. Frank Quillacy due up next. It's 7-4. The 87 Twins have rallied with seven runs in the fifth and sixth innings for a three-run lead. One ball, two strikes, and here's the pitch to Batty. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Struck him out with a fastball. Seven strikeouts now for Twins pitchers from the 87 staff. Nico had six, and Berenguer starts off his relief stint with his first and the seventh for the 87 Twins staff. Lyleven, who started and was knocked out after pitching two-thirds of an inning, didn't strike out anybody. Make that log on Necro, 5 1/3 innings pitched. 5 1/3 innings pitched. Here's Quillacy. He's 0 for 2. He struck out and fly to center fielder Kirby Puckett. And the first pitch to him was a ball high, one ball and no strikes. 1-0 the count to Frank Quillacy, the fiery pot second baseman for the 65 Twins. He's always had a lot of pepper. He plays with a lot of enthusiasm. And the pitch to him is down low, and two balls and no strikes the count. Frank, a very likable guy and very personable. And they count two balls and no strikes. Here's a pitch and a fastball swung on and fouled back to the netting. Two balls and one strike to count. 2-1 to count to Quillacy. One away, nobody on. Berenguer, the third 87 Twins pitcher to work. Dream Series, game two. 7-4, 87 Twins lead. Here's the pitch to Quillacy. Two balls and a strike. A fastball is swung on and hit to second baseman Al Newman. Very routine play for Al. Two hops. On to Herbeck at first, and Quillacy is retired, and there's two away. Sandy Valdespino stepping in, batting for the fourth time. 1 for 3. He singled back in the first inning and scored on a hit by Tony Oliva. Jimmy Hall had a two-run homer for the 65 Twins in the first inning, and it was a very quick 3-0 lead. They added another run in the first inning on a single by Earl Batty, but since that time, the 65 Twins bats have been silenced. It's 7-4, 87 Twins leading. First pitch to Valdespino is a strike called, and it's no balls and one strike to count. Berenguer appears to be sharp in his first inning of relief, taking over for Joe Niekro. And the pitch, a breaking pitch on the outside corner. No balls and two strikes to count to Valdespino. Sandy, left-handed hitter. He didn't play in game one of the Dream Series. He's the DH here in game two. No DH tomorrow now, and Straker goes against Pascual in game three. And the 0-2 delivery, Berenguer, strike three called. There's a very good split finger by Berenguer, and boy, he really had that pitch bottom out. Valdespino is out on a called third strike. That's going to be all for the 65 Twins here in the seventh inning. Ronnie Newman warming up for Take Me Out to the Ball Game. And in the middle of the seventh inning of play, as the 65 Twins go down in order, 1-2-3, it's the 87 Twins 7 and the 65 Twins 4.
Well, I think one of the surprising things of the Dream Series thus far has been the amount of runs scored. I think in the first game, 5-4. And in this one, 7-4, but there have been a lot of base hits, too. And I think the folks came out to the Metrodome tonight with Blylevin against Mudcat Grant. And again, probably looking forward to seeing a game about 3-2 or 4-3. But a lot of base hits by both sides in this game, and big innings by each side. Four runs for the 65 Twins. They knocked out Blylevin in the first inning. Jim Grant, who got away to a good start the first two innings, he looked super out there. But then they gradually started to hit him and finally knocked out Mudcat in the sixth inning. And so we have a 7-4 lead now for the 1987 Twins as they come up to bat here against lefty Jim Merritt in the bottom of the seventh inning. Jim Merritt, who filled in very well for Dave Boswell. Dave came up with a case of mononucleosis, and Merritt stepped in there and did a real good job for him until Boswell could get back. John?
In the bottom of the seventh, Gary Gaetti, who is hitless, one of two Twins, does not have a hit in the 14-hit attack for these 87 Twins, stepping in 0 for 3. Bounced to double play, out on the fly to left, and struck out, facing lefty Jim Merritt. The first pitch is a ball high, one ball and no strikes. Merritt in relief of Jim Mudcat Grant, who went 5 1/3 innings and gave up 12 hits, including a home run to Tim Laudner and a home run to Tom Brunansky. 7-4, 87 Twins lead. Pitch to Gaetti. Here's a line drive and a single to left field. A base hit for Gary. Solid knock, and the Twins have their 15th hit of the game. They had 12 hits in game one. The 87 Twins now have 15 in game two, and it's only the top half or bottom half of the seventh inning. And now Don Baylor, the
former Baltimore Oriole, former Oakland Athletic, California Angel. He's going to step in and pinch hit for Randy Bush. Tom Kelly going to his bench for Don Baylor, who was signed just in time before the September 1st deadline to play for the Minnesota Twins and eligible for postseason play and this Dream Series. And he will be announced as a pinch hitter. And here comes Sam Mealy out, Herb. He's going to pull Merritt, the left-hander, and bring in the right-hander, Al Worthington, who's been warming in the bullpen.
Al Worthington, who was a super all year, coming out of bullpen in late-inning situation for the 1965 Minnesota Twins. So Jim Merritt will leave, but Jim coming on in relief of Jim Mudcat Grant. And now Al Worthington, who features an outstanding slider along with a good sinking fastball to try to stem the tide here as the 1987 Twins really have some hot bats going in the series. And so with the pitching change right now, we'll pause for these messages. Al Worthington, who appeared in 62 ball games for the Minnesota Twins, had a total of 24 relief points during the regular season, 10 wins and 14 saves. And he had an outstanding ERA of 2.1. Last year it was 1.3, so he has not given up many earned runs. Right-hander Al Worthington coming on to do the pitching now and trying to stem this tide of the 1987 Twins. John?
He'll face the pinch batter, Don Baylor. Baylor, of course, as mentioned, just joining the Twins before the deadline. Right-handed hitter, and Don, who hits with plenty of power and is a World Series veteran. He's had an opportunity to play in World Series with the Baltimore Orioles. And also, Don Baylor pinch hitting here against Al Worthington. Now, here's the first pitch to Baylor. It's a fastball in there for a strike. No balls and one strike to count. Baylor, during the regular season, of course, did not have that many at-bats. He hit 245 for the Minnesota Twins. Baylor appearing in a total of 73 games. Don Baylor, and the pitch is high. It'll be a count of 1-2 balls and no strikes. Baylor hitting 286 with the Twins during the regular season. And the pitch is a strike, a foul. It'll be just behind home plate. Gaetti holding it first, and it'll be a count of 2-1. Baylor batting, 2-1 the count. Here's the right-hander Worthington to the set, checks the runner at first in the pitch, and here's a line drive into left center field. It's going to be in there. It'll go for extra bases. Here's Gary Gaetti on his way to third, gets the green light from Rick Rennick and makes the turn. He'll come in to score, and Don Baylor is at second base with a run-producing double to left center field. The relay, Jimmy Hall to Versailles, and onto the plate, not in time to get Gary Gaetti, scoring all the way from first. The onslaught continues for the 87 Twins. They have their 16th hit of the game, and they now lead by a score of 8-4. Baylor with the RBI and delivering with a pinch hit to Bagger. What a job by Baylor. Well, Worthington gives up his first hit, the 16th, by the pitching of Grant, Merritt, and Worthington, and Tom Brunansky stepping in. Bruno having a good day. He has a two-run homer, a single, and a strikeout, and he's 2-for-3. First pitch to him is a strike in the outside corner, a slider, no balls, and one strike the count. Baylor with a pinch hit, two-base hit, and driving across the run, 8-4, the lead for the 87 Twins. Here's Brunansky taking a strike on the inside corner, and a count of 0-2. Nobody out. Baylor at second. The 87 Twins, they've started every inning since the second with a base hit. They have 16 total. Pitch to Brunansky, a swing and a miss, strike three. Struck him out on three pitches. Tom Brunansky retired. And that's going to be out number one. That'll be strikeout number 9 for the 65 Twins pitchers. Mudcat Grant had 6, Merritt 2, and now Worthington 1. But they've also given up 16 hits. Now Greg Gagne stepping in, 2-for-3 for Gags tonight. Singles in the third and fifth innings. He struck out in the sixth. And the pitch from Worthington, a slider swung on and hit into left field. A high fly ball that Bob Allison comes in and makes the catch on. Easy play for Allison. After that double by Baylor, Worthington settling down and getting two quick outs on Brunansky and Gagne. Now Tim Laudner, big home run for Timmy back in the fifth inning, and a single in the sixth inning. He scored 2 of the 8 runs for the 87 Twins, and he has a 2-for-3 night going. Homer hankies abound. They're just waving them continually now as the 87 Twins have rallied for the lead, and they were down 4-0, and they now lead 8-4. Pitch to Laudner is a strike on the inside corner. No balls and one strike to count. Timmy batting in the bottom of the seventh, and an 8-4, 87 Twins lead in Dream Series Game 2. And the pitch to Laudner is a high fly ball, medium deep left field. Jimmy Hall back. He's waiting on this one. Pounds the glove and makes the catch. And the 87 Twins are retired in the seventh inning. Another run. They've scored 8 in the last 3 innings. 1 run, 2 hits, and 1 left on. And at the end of 7 innings of play, 8-4, 87 Twins lead the 65 Twins. Well, after 7 innings of play, it is 4 runs, 8 hits, and no errors for the 65 Twins. 8 runs, 16 hits, and no errors for the 87 Twins. I might add that the 65 Twins are staying at the Hyatt Regency downtown. Many of the players were very pleased with the hotel accommodations. And traveling secretary Howard Fox said that everything was just in beautiful order for the 65 Twins at the start of their stay at the Hyatt Regency. Let's get to the eighth now as Juan Berenguer faces leadoff batter Rich Rollins and an 8-4 lead for the 87 Twins. Once again, here's Herb.
Okay, thank you, John. The first pitch by Berenguer is high and outside. Ball one. Berenguer, who retired the side 1-2-3 in the seventh, 2 strikeouts. Pitching here to Rich Rollins, leading off the eighth inning. And the right-hander Berenguer delivers it. Rollins swings and laces one out into right field. That's going to drop in there for a base hit. Bernanski plays it on the bounce, and Rollins is on with a single to right to start the eighth inning for the 65 Twins. Here's Tony Oliva. Tony with a run-scoring single in the first, a line drive out to Bernanski in the second, and he grounded to Herbeck on a nice play by Herbie in the fifth. Tony Oliva with Rollins on at first base, and Berenguer's first pitch to Tony is a strike call on the inside corner over the knees. It's 0-1. Armand Killebrew waiting on deck. 9 hits now for the 1965 Twins. 87 Twins playing the infield at double play depth as Oliva being played to the right in the outfield at the plate, and Berenguer from the set delivers, and Tony swings and hits it high and not too deep into right field. Bernanski coming in. Getting under it now, Bernanski waits and makes the catch, and there's one away. Tony Oliva flies to right, one gone in the top of the eighth inning. And here's Harmon Killebrew with a long fly to left, a double to left center, and a strikeout. He's 2-for-7 in the series. Rich Rollins on first and one out. As Berenguer takes the sign from Tim Laudner. And the pitch to Killebrew, he swings and hits the foul back to the screen. One strike to count. Burt Lyleven shelled in the first inning. Burt gave up 4 runs and 4 hits before leaving in favor of Joe Niekro, who blanked the 65 Twins for 5 in the third inning. And here's the pitch by Berenguer. Killebrew swings, and he lifts one high in the air to left field this time, medium deep. Dan Gladden over towards the foul line a couple of steps, is under it and makes the catch, and there was 2 gone. And Rollins will stay at first base as Killebrew flies to left. 2 out with a man at first, and Jimmy Hall steps in. Left-handed batting Jimmy Hall with a long upper deck homer in the first. A long fly to left in the third, on which Killebrew was doubled up trying to go to third. Hall single to right in the sixth inning. Berenguer from the set delivers, and Hall swings, and he lifts a fly ball out to straightaway center field. Puckett backing off a couple of steps. This one's pretty well hit, but Puck is there and makes the catch to retire the side. A long fly ball out to center, and the leadoff single is wasted. No runs, 1 hit and 1 left. We go to the bottom of the eighth inning with the 87 Twins leading the 65 Twins 8-4.
Well, I just noticed Jim Rantz, the assistant director of media relations for the 65 Twins, talking to Ramsey Caratley, the assistant director of media relations for the 87 Twins. They were chatting about the dot matrix scoreboard out in left center field, where it's very difficult to see the replays. But all these partisan fans for the 87 Twins here, they're so delirious right now by waving those homer hankies, they could care less about watching replays.
You're right. They're just watching everything that's going on in this stadium. And boy, I'll tell you, when those rallies, when they got the 3 runs in the sixth inning, or in the fifth inning, rather, than 4-6, you thought the roof was going to come off of this place.
I've never heard a stadium this noisy, and that includes all the others that I've been in. They were really rocking and rolling here in the Metrodome. Let's see what happens here in the bottom half of the eighth inning.
All right, Gladden swings on the first pitch, and here's a ground ball hit to short. Versailles is up with it. Zarlo's throw on over to Killebrew, and Gladden is out. Short the first to play. Gladden now 0-for-5 in this game and 2-for-10 in the series. And next will be Al Newman. Al with a double and a single out of 4 at-bats And Worthington's first pitch to him is in there for a call strike, and it's 0-1. No balls, one strike. Al Worthington takes the sign from Earl Batty. The swing by Newman, and he pops it up behind the plate. There will be a play this time for Earl Batty, and he makes the catch directly behind home plate as Newman is fouled out for the second out. So there are two gone here in the last of the eighth inning for the 87 Twins, enjoying an 8-4 lead. And the hottest man in the series, Kirby Puckett, coming up. Kirby with two singles, a double in this game, 3-for-4 and 6-for-9 in the series. Worthington swings into the lineup, and the first pitch is a slider outside corner for a strike. He started the swing, let it go by, and it was called on him by Greg Kosk. It's 0-1. Al Worthington. I mentioned his ERA just a shade over 2 this year. It was just a little over 1.3 last year. Gave up only 57 hits and 80 innings during the regular season. Walked 41 and struck out 49. And the pitch to Puckett is swung on and missed, strike 2. Another slider from Al Worthington had Puckett swinging 0-2. 65 Twins scored 4 in the first. And then the 87 Twins 3 in the 5th, 4 in the 6th, and 1 in the 7th. The first 6 runs charged to Mudcat Grant. As Puckett swings and he misses, striking out on that Al Worthington slider to retire the side. A 1-2-3 inning. And so we go to the 9th here at the Metrodome with a score, the 87 Twins 8, the 65 Twins 4.
Well, Tom Kelly not taking any chances with a 4-run lead. He still has right-hander Jeff Reardon and left-hander Dan Schatzader warming in the bullpen as the 65 Twins come to bat on the top of the 9th inning and their final at bat. Don't forget, Game 3 of the Dream Series scheduled for tomorrow. The Les Straker pitching for the 87 Twins and Camilo Pascual going for the 65 Twins. Before we get to the top of the 9th here, how do you figure that pitching matchup for Game 3 of this Dream Series?
Well, it would be interesting because Camilo Pascual started out the year